Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. And we're turning to God's Word again today. I was just thinking, as the principal was opening in prayer there, and praying for not only each one of you here, but those who might listen to the recordings of the messages. And when she said that, I thought to myself, well, yes, there's people all over the world who listen to them. There's two young ladies away up in America that I know for sure listen in and join with our school assembly. And then there's others all over the place, all over the world, who visit Kilskerry and listen to you saying good morning to me. And indeed, there are many people who have said that they particularly like that part of the recording. I don't know whether they're saying that I'm not much good, but you're very good at saying good morning. I'm not sure if that's what they're saying. But isn't it interesting in this modern age that what happens here can be heard across the world? Across the world. So I want you to listen, just like those who take the time to find the recording and listen. Our subject, we started this last Tuesday, is entitled Children, Boys and Girls Who Met the Lord Jesus. And that meeting is recorded in the Gospels. Sometimes it's just a brief little mention, other times there's quite a story behind it, all of which is given us by God to study and to learn from. And so we're going to spend time, I don't know how long it'll take me getting through all the references, but we're going to take time to visit each of them in our study. But I'm going to start by emphasizing the fact that the Lord Jesus had all the experiences that you have every day. Because when he came into this world, he was born as a baby in Bethlehem, that we know. And although we don't read about him from when he was a baby until he was 12, there's that gap in the history. We do know that during those 12 years, he grew up just like you. And he scampered about, maybe with a little less noise, but still he ran about just like other boys and other girls. And he played. I'm not quite sure of the sort of school he went to, although he went to school. Might have been something like this, a sort of a family gathering type school, with a teacher set over him and the other neighbors' children in the village in which he lived. And he would run about the playground exactly like you. And I want you to think on that when you're out there, that this is what the Lord Jesus would have done. It's always good, boys and girls, when you read your Bible, to try and picture in your mind what it is you're reading about. Because the Lord wants you to do that, so that you can step in, as it were, to the Bible scene that is being told to you. You can step into it and become part of it. And you can see the people that you're reading about doing what you're told they were doing. And in the case of the Lord Jesus, we can just imagine him playing while he was a boy, just like you, just like you. Although we must emphasize that while the Lord Jesus had experiences that were just the sort of experiences that they, no matter what age you are, you see, hey, I'm not a wee one, little one, but he was also your age as well. But the Lord Jesus was wonderfully very different. He was the same in many ways, but he was very different in one important way. He was different because while he had a human nature just like us, he also had a divine nature. To use an expression that is commonly used by preachers, he was God manifest in the flesh. When you looked at the Lord Jesus, even as a little boy, he was God in the form of a little boy. Because as well as having a human nature, he had a divine nature. John chapter 1 verse 14, it says that he was made flesh
And we beheld his glory, only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
He was made flesh. He was made flesh. And something else we're told, I want you to learn from 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verse 22. He did no sin, neither was guile or deceit found in his mouth. And again, 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, in him is no sin. So you see, this made him very different from you and me. This made him very different. Yes, he had a human body and all the things that went with that, but he had not a sinful nature. He was without sin. He did no sin. Now that made him very different from other boys and girls. That made him very different. You see, boys and girls, we sin. Everybody on the face of this earth is a sinner. They have a nature that loves sin. And because of that, we will not get into heaven unless we're saved from our sin. Unless by the grace of God, to use a phrase well known in the Bible, we are born again. We are given by God a new nature. And it's a nature like the Savior's. We are delivered from sin and we can live holy lives. Oh yes, the old sinful nature is still there, trying to turn us aside from following God. But nevertheless, we have a new nature and we are thus enabled to obey God, walk with God and be holy. Let me ask you, are you born again? Have you a new nature similar to that which the Savior had? Have you been made holy? Because there's no heaven for us. You know how I want you to know that. We'll not get into heaven unless we're born again. You say, but Mommy's going to heaven. Daddy's going to heaven. Surely they'll let me in. No, not unless you're saved, as is your mother or your father, who is going to heaven. So that showing you that the Lord Jesus was very like us in so, so many ways, he nevertheless was wonderfully different. But by God's grace, we could be made like him. The Bible speaks of holiness as Christ-likeness. So to be holy is to be like Christ. We can be made to be like him. Many boys and girls, when the Bible is opened, they think, oh, well, that's for Mommy and for Daddy, for the big ones, it's not for me. I don't need to listen. Now, that's what I thought when I first went to church as a youngster. It wasn't a very good church. They didn't really preach. And when the man got up into the pulpit and opened the Bible, I switched off, stopped listening. I used to count the knot in the ceiling timbers or in the pew in front of me and look at the swirls that was there in the grain of the wood. And that's what I thought about to a large degree. And maybe somebody coughed over from me. Oh, what's wrong with them? That gave me something else to think about. I wasn't listening to anything, if there was anything worthwhile being said from the pulpit. Because, well, that's not for me. That's for big people. But you're wrong. You're wrong. The Bible is written for boys and girls. I gave you one example from Ephesians chapter 6 last time, where Paul is inspired, that is, he is told by the Holy Spirit, write this down for children. And you can read in Ephesians chapter 6 at the very beginning of the chapter where God sends a word to boys and girls. Obey your parents. This is right. And if you do so, I'll bless you. Now that's only one instance of God speaking to boys and girls in the Bible. I could mention the fact that over in Deuteronomy, God directs mums and dads, teach your children the scriptures. Indeed, write the scriptures and place them all around your home so that they are constantly reminded of the word of God. That's why oftentimes, and I'm sure most times, you find in Christian homes gospel texts. It's only doing what God wants parents to do. Display my word so that the little ones can see it and know that it's an important thing. Yes, boys and girls, this Bible
is for you. For you to listen to.
Well, that's important. That's why I like to get your attention all the time. That's why sometimes I stop and say a wee word to boys and girls to get their attention. Because this book will direct you to heaven. But if you don't listen to it, you'll not get to heaven. You'll not get to heaven. I have a big bunch of keys that I carry with me. One of them lets me into the church through the side door. Another key on the ring lets me back into the house when I go up. And there's another key that starts my car. Very important. Bunch of keys. That is a key that will open the door of heaven for you. That's what your Bible will do. It will open heaven to you if you listen to it. If you obey it. The man once asked Paul the Apostle, "What must I do to be saved?" What did Paul do? He pulled out a key and he said, "Here is the key to heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." The key was a quotation from the Word of God. Boys and girls, that book you have there will take you to heaven. And that's why I want you to listen. Not only to me, but everyone who comes and speaks to you here in the assembly and in church when the Word of God is proclaimed. So, the Bible's for more than just the big people, the grown-ups. And I want to emphasize that. That's why we're studying the Lord Jesus as a young boy. Because the Bible played a major part in his life. He knew all the Bible. Most remarkable. The Lord Jesus, even as a boy, could quote the Bible. He could quote it all. All that was then written in the Scriptures. From Genesis right through to Malachi. The Lord Jesus knew every word. Wasn't that remarkable? How many verses do you know from the Bible? He knew them all. That's why one of his titles is the Word. The Lord Jesus is called the Word of God. And just think on that. He's called the Word of God because he is God's message to us. The Lord Jesus is God's Word, his message to us. Oh, men add to the Bible, they take things away from the Bible. How wrong that is. For God's Word is his message to us. Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. And all that is revealed about him, we must believe and obey. Now, there's a little word in Luke's Gospel, the chapter 1, at the very end of that chapter 1 of Luke. It says this, "And the child grew." And there it's talking about John the Baptist. The child grew. Well, there's nothing strange in that. The child grew. That happens to boys and girls. You see, I remember you when you were smaller than you are today. You've grown. Well, that's a human thing. That's a natural thing. But further on in the Gospel of Luke, the next chapter, in fact, at the last verse of that chapter, we read these words, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature." Stature? Size. So the Lord Jesus, just like you, got bigger and bigger as the years went by. Oh, I want to emphasize that. And during that period, he would have been taught the Scriptures, and he would have studied the Scriptures, and he would have known and lived by the Scriptures. And that's what I'm urging upon you. One last thing, time's up. One last thing. The Lord Jesus had a family life, just like you. Though I have to say, I don't think he fought with his sister or his brother or argued with his mum or dad, the one who was looked upon as his father, even Joseph, he was the head of the house. The Lord Jesus submitted to them, obeyed them. But he had a family life. Listen to this. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 55 and 56, the people have just listened to the Savior preach. Chapter 13 of Matthew, the verse 55 and the verse 56. And as they have listened to the Savior preach, they have said, "Boy, this man There's a better preacher than the usual preacher here. The one we usually hear doesn't speak with such authority. And we feel there's power in his words. How is this? And they go on to say, is not this the carpenter's son? That's what they thought. He lived in Joseph's house. Wasn't he Joseph's son? Well, we know he wasn't. We know that he had a wonderfully miraculous birth. Yes, his mother was Mary, but Joseph wasn't his father. The birth of the Lord Jesus was a wonderful miracle. So they say, is not this Joseph, the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James, and Joseph, and Simon, and Judas, and his sisters. So there's the family. There's the family. There's the brothers of the Lord Jesus. Or we would call them half-brothers. Because their dad was Joseph. Their mother was Mary. But the Lord Jesus was born of Mary by a miracle. So they were half-brothers. But they were brothers. And they had sisters. We don't know how many, and we don't know their names, but he had sisters. And I repeat again, boys and girls, he didn't fight with them. Oh, they may have fought with him at times and been annoyed with him at times, because remember, he did no sin. So maybe when they were out playing and one of them suggested doing something wrong, the Lord Jesus would have said, no, no, we can't do that. And that would have annoyed the one who was making that suggestion, and maybe they turned and they said some rough words to the Lord Jesus, but he never spoke in an unkind fashion to them. He did no sin. Now, it is to be noticed that men looked on the Lord Jesus, and what they saw was just a human being, like all the others. What they couldn't see, and which I'm trying to get you to understand, is that he had a divine nature. He was God manifest in the flesh. But these eyes will not see that unless God opens them. And you can read the Bible and not see who Jesus was. That's why out there in the street, people who go to church, they take the name of the Lord Jesus as a bad word, because they don't realize and recognize who he really was. Now, we're told concerning these brothers, and probably all of the family, but certainly the brothers, that they did not believe on the Lord Jesus. John chapter 7 verse 5 tells us that. So that when the Savior declared that I am the Messiah, they said, no, it couldn't be. He's our brother. He couldn't be the Messiah. He couldn't be the Savior. He couldn't be the Christ, long promised by God, who would come and deliver his people? No, we don't believe that. It's a terrible thing when there are those in the family who trust the Lord Jesus, but there are others in the family who do not. The family of the Lord Jesus was divided. There were those who did not believe that he was the Messiah, but it didn't end there, boys and girls, because those who don't believe the gospel can be brought to believing the gospel. They can be converted by God's grace. They can be enabled to accept Christ for who he is. And that happened to brothers. How do I know? Well, the Bible tells me so. In Acts chapter 1 and the verse 14. What do we read there? We read of them in prayer. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So somewhere along the line, from John 7, where they don't believe, to here in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, where they do believe, they were converted. They were converted. It must have been a source of sorrow to the Lord Jesus to see his brothers, and maybe his sisters as well. I'm sure it was the case at some stage. Neither brothers nor sisters believed in him. They rejected him. That must have been a great sorrow to the Lord Jesus. It's a sorrow that some brothers, some sisters have to endure in this life when they see their brother, their sister, not saved. That saddens the heart of the Christian. And they cry to God that the Lord might save them. I hope you're praying for your family. If there's any among them who are not saved, I hope you're praying as the Savior would have, longing that they might be saved. Well, the Savior's prayers were answered. For there on the day of Pentecost, that wonderful day, were all the family. All the family. Will all the family be in heaven? Will you be in heaven? You have to listen to the gospel.
You have to obey the gospel.
And get to heaven. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. We're going to bow in prayer. Let's close our eyes and bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we can but ask thee to take up thy word and apply it powerfully to the hearts of the boys and girls. And may there be wrought in their heart that which was done in the hearts of your brothers. May everyone gathered here today be saved in thy time. Bless the school, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.